You join with me for the reading of the word this morning as we turn to Luke chapter 10, Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning to read in verse 25 as we continue our series on the parables of Jesus. This morning, again, another familiar story that Jesus has told, one that we have heard many, many times growing up in the church since we've been coming to Sunday school. But yet God continues to speak to it. I pray that this morning we see the scripture from a new light and in a new way. But the scripture says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he went over, took out 2 silver coins, and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've been teaching us in these stories that we can relate to, that, Lord, we can understand how to live and how to live as your people today. I pray this morning that you would show within us our heart again today, that we would have the heart of you. And Lord, through your word, we thank you that you continue to guide us and direct us. So quiet our heart before you this morning that we may hear what you intend for us, that each one of us may receive from you this morning what we need from you. Because, Lord, you know our hearts, and we pray that you would search our heart, O God, and see within us and quiet us, before you, that you may speak to us within our heart. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like to take tests? Tests can come in all kinds of forms. When we were in school, we would have tests maybe written, multiple choice, true and false, on lectures that the teacher gave us to see how well we grasped the content of what we were supposed to have learned. Tests can come in the form of medical tests, that when we're not feeling well and we have an issue going on in our life, the doctor may order some kind of test so that they can determine what's going on or what's wrong with us. And those results can come back. And tests can come in all kinds of ways. Well, one day, as Jesus was teaching, a lawyer came to Jesus. Now, there's usually two people that they make jokes about being so honest: lawyers and car salesmen. But the lawyer came to Jesus with the question to test him and to put him to the test. And he asked Jesus a question. He said, Jesus, or teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that was the wrong question to begin with, because there's nothing that you and I can do to inherit eternal life, is there? It's already been done for us by Jesus. But he put Jesus to the test, trying to trick him. It was a lawyer, most likely a scribe. In Bible times, it was the scribes or lawyers were trained in the law of Moses to interpret it to the people and help the people understand. They were experts in the law. They had understood it and studied it well. And he came to Jesus with this question. Jesus' reply is, well, what does the scripture say? What does the law? You're a lawyer. You've read the law. You know it. What does the law say? And as we look at this story that we've seen so many times, looking at it perhaps in a new light, because this morning we want to take the neighbor test. Because really that's the test of what Jesus has given us here in this story. That answer to that question, who is my neighbor? Who are those people that I really need to be concerned about? Is my neighbor someone who lives next to me? Is my neighbor someone within my family? Is my neighbor someone in the church? Or could my neighbor be somebody I don't even know? And so the lawyer came and tested Jesus with the question to put him to the test. And this morning we want to discover three things as we look at this story new and afresh. And first is the standards of the test. Whenever you take a test, the teacher always has some kind of standard that you have to meet the standard in order to pass the test. And you're evaluated on the basis of if you live up to the standard. And if you, however you meet the standard, depends on the grade you get. And so the standards of this test were seen. As the lawyer asked this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave the response. He said, what does the law say? The first standard is perfect love. When he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Which comes from the law itself. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Love for God, most of all, is where we have that perfect love for God. Loving him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That comes from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Turn with me there as he was quoting the law. Whenever Jesus says, well, what does the law say? You know it. What's the standard that God's given? If you want to have eternal life, what's the standard? And Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So when this lawyer put Jesus to the test and said, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says, well, what's the law say? And he says, well, the first standard is perfect love. And what does perfect love mean? It means to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And as you look at that standard that God has put before us, do I ask you this morning, do you love God with all your heart, all your mind? If I'm honest, I'd say I don't. There's times when my mind wanders and has things it shouldn't think of. There's mine when my heart has affection for other things and not God's first. And that standard is pretty high, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I don't think there's anybody here that can measure up to that standard. And if that's the degree for passing the test, it's a pretty high bar, isn't it? Perfect love for God. And Jesus, he's using the scripture to point out to the Samaritan that he was falling short. He asked that question, to the lawyer that he was falling short. He asked the question, what must I do? And Jesus was using the word of God to show him that there's nothing we can do. Because the standard is so high that none of us have perfect love all the time for God. Because other things can cool our affection for him sometimes. Or perfect love for others as well, for our neighbor. The second standard was not only loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but the second was to love your neighbor as you love yourself. to love others the way we love ourselves. That's the standard of the test that God calls us to. Pretty high standard in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. That's the law that comes from that verse. Love, where the Lord says in the law, love the Lord, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he was quoting the law there. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. As the standard of this test was laid out for the lawyer, as he tried to test Jesus, and he says, well, what does the law say? And he quoted the standards back, perfect love for God and for neighbor. In chapter 22 of Matthew, beginning in verse 34, Jesus again was put to the test by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers. In the hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, verse 34, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, another lawyer, tested him with this question. They're still putting him to the test with this question, the standard. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So the lawyer was right whenever he said to Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the standard. Perfect love. If you want to have eternal life. But none of us can live up to that standard. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, we read there about a man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, what's the law say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, yes. And he said, I've kept all these commandments. And Jesus says, well, if you have, then give what, sell what you have and give it to the poor. And said he went away sad because he was rich, showing that he had loved other things more than God. So perfect love is the first standard. And the second is perfect righteousness. Because let's go back to Luke chapter 10. And this is all an introduction, really, to getting into the why Jesus told this parable. The expert said, the teacher, the lawyer said, sir, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do? Jesus said, you got to demonstrate perfect love for me, for the Lord, and for your neighbor, and perfect righteousness. When Jesus laid out the standard of the law, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and those were the standards, the lawyer knew, I might not be too good at loving my neighbor as I should. So notice what verse 29 says, but he wanted to justify himself. When the standard was put out there, he wanted to justify himself and say, okay, if I need to love my neighbor as myself, then exactly who is my neighbor? Who's the person that I have to show that kind of love to? Who is it that I have to love the way I love myself? Surely it would not be people that I despise. Surely it would not be people that are different than me. I can love the people, my neighbor, who I like or within my family, but surely my neighbor is not someone that's different than me or a different ethnic group than me. Surely not. Jesus, I don't have to love that kind of person, do I? And he's trying to justify himself to make himself look better. So he asked that question. In James chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, James was writing to us, which was a book, was very practical for living. And he said to us there in chapter 2, verse 8, If you keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. So Jesus says, if you say you love your neighbor as yourself, but you don't follow through with that, He said, you've committed breaking the law. So he's setting the standard here of perfect righteousness. He's trying to point out to this lawyer that the standard of this test is pretty high. Perfect love and perfect righteousness, and we all fall short. So then, to make the point, Jesus administers the test, and the second is the administration of this test. The lawyer came to Jesus with the test to test him, but really Jesus turns the tables around and puts the lawyer on trial. He puts the lawyer to a test by telling this story. The story that we've heard so many times of a man on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while he was taking that journey, he fell among thieves and was beaten and left there for dead. Along the way came a priest who surely you would thought would help him out. A priest, a servant of God, on his way down the road, seeing a man in need, surely he would stop. But he passed him by and went the other way. Then a Levite, a servant, also a servant at the temple. The priests were the tribe of Levi, but the Levites had the responsibility of serving in the temple and helping and assisting. Surely he would help. He was a servant in the church. Surely he would help. But he saw him and passed by. Then, as you know the story, a despised Samaritan came, saw him, took pity, and he was the one who stopped and helped. And the point Jesus was making, the point show who our neighbor is. In the administration of the test, what Jesus is teaching us is that our neighbor is anyone who is in need. Even if it's somebody we don't know, even if it's somebody of a different ethnic group than us, the Samaritans were completely different from the Jews. They despised each other. But yet anyone who was in need is our neighbor. And that's the point that Jesus was trying to make in this story. The lawyer was trying to justify himself and say, I only have to love those who I like. But our neighbor is, if there's a legitimate need, that's a person we are called to care for. Because the man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and we need to understand a little bit about this journey. The Jerusalem to Jericho road was a very dangerous road. And Jesus, when he told this story, intentionally put the man on this road because it was something in those times they would have understood. And the road went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It was a distance of about 18 miles. But in that journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was mountainous. It was a very mountainous road. And because of that, the change of elevation was 3,500 feet from up in Jerusalem until you got down to Jericho. And a journey of 18 miles, you were going 3,500 feet distance. You can see the elevation drop kind of in that thing there from where Jerusalem is to Jericho down the bottom. And in that journey, you can see the ancient road there. It was, because it went down through the mountains, it was very treacherous and it was very narrow. And a lot of robbers, it was known that a lot of robbers would hang out, and there's a lot of hiding places for robbers to hide in the mountain passes as people would take that very treacherous descent. 3,500 feet. Jerusalem was at 2,500 feet above sea level. Jericho was at 1,000 feet below sea level. So as you were going down, you were going that far. And it was a very dangerous road. Jesus intentionally made that the road of the story because people in that time would have understood. Yeah, someone to be robbed on that road was a very common occurrence to happen. This man was robbed and he was laying there for dead. And he was in need. So what happened? The second thing we see in the administration of the story is that love for God is proven in our love for others. Because a priest came down the road, someone who you would have thought would have loved God. He's a servant of God after all. And he came down the road, it says he was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was taking the same journey. And when he saw the man laying there, he saw him, but we know the story, he passed by on the other side. Surely you would have thought a priest, a servant of the Most High God, would have a heart that would have moved him to compassion for this man in need. Why didn't he stop? We can speculate. Maybe as a priest, he thought, if I touch him, I'll be unclean. I'll be ceremonially unclean, and I can't do that. Maybe he thought he was too busy. He had a schedule he had to keep, and he passed by. The Levite came by as well, and he saw him, again, another servant of God in the temple. But he saw him, and it says, not only did he see him, he passed by, but he passed by on the other side of the road. It's the same thing the priest did. Two men who claimed that they had love for God, but they missed those in need. And the point Jesus is making in this story is that love for God translates into love for others. And if we see a need, if we truly love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will respond to it. Because love for God moves us to compassion. They all saw him. If you see that, and you look in verse 31, a priest come down the road, he saw the man, but he passed by on the other side. Verse 32, so too the Levite, he came to the place, he saw him, and passed by on the other side. They all saw him, but they weren't moved out of their love for God, for compassion. But the Samaritan, as he saw him in verse 33 and took pity. Because see, to the lawyer, the man on the robber, the man who was beaten and laying on the road in need, was a principle to discuss. He just wanted someone to discuss who my neighbor was. He didn't really care. To the robber, he was a passenger to exploit. To the priest and the Levite, he was a problem to avoid because they just didn't want to take the time to deal with this man in need. But to the Samaritan, he was a person to love. And that's what God calls us to, motivating us to compassion and to action. The love of God motivates us to take action. Notice when he saw him, he had pity, verse 32:3 says. But then he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn, and took care of him. Not only did he feel sorry for him, but he took action. And he responded, and he met the need. What was the motivation for that? It was the motivation of his love for God that motivated him to show that love to a person in need. That's the administration of the test. The standard is high, that we got to love God and love others. But how do we do that? Our love for God should motivate us to love others. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. We all know John 3:16. But let's take a look at 1 John 3:16 and what the Lord wrote John to say there. Again, talking about love, John was the apostle of love. But in 1 John 3:16, he says, this is how we know what love is. If we claim we have love for God and we love God, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought also to lay our life down for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, the priest and Levite didn't have pity on him. What's it say? How can the love of God be what? In him. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we have set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. But this is how we know that we belong to the truth, John says. As if we see a person in need, and out of love for God, we respond and meet that need when we can. It doesn't mean every person, sometimes people's needs may not be legitimate. But knowing if it's a legitimate need that person may have, and we have the ability to help to respond in the love of God. That's the administration of the test God has put before us. And our love for God is demonstrated by the love that we show for others. In James chapter 3, verses 14 to 26, there he says that if someone comes to you and says, has a need, and you say, go, I wish you well, God bless you, but do nothing about it. He said, your faith is meaningless. Faith without works is dead, he says. Just to say, God bless you, go in peace, and we don't respond to the need. He said, then how can you say your faith is real? Our faith, our love for God motivates us to action. And our love is costly. Notice in verse 35, whenever he stopped out of his love for God to care for this man, he bound him, he put the oil and wounds on him, he bound his wounds, he put him on his own donkey, he bandaged his wounds, he put him on his own donkey, and he took him to the inn. The next day, he gave 2 silver coins to the innkeeper and said, look after him until I return, and I'll reimburse you for any expense you may have. It cost him something. And sometimes when we show love our neighbor and love those in need around us that God brings into our life, that places before us, the people that God may place before us that we can help, it costs us something. It's costly. But we think of what it cost the Father when he showed his love to us. It cost God giving his Son. And it is costly to show the love of God and to love neighbor as God calls us to. But yet, that's the reflecting of stamping the image of God within us, of being like him. So the standards of the test are high. Perfect love and perfect righteousness. Loving God with our whole heart and mind and soul. And the administration of that is it is shown that our love of God is shown by the love we show for others. That's third and closing. Let's look at the grading of the test. After Jesus told that story, he then turned it back to the teacher in the law and said, okay, here's the test. You came to test me. Here's the standard. Here's how it's shown. Now, how did you do? And he said, which one of these do you think is a neighbor to the one who fell into the hands of robbers? The whole point of the question, the story, was to answer that question, who is my neighbor? Who is it do I really have to love? People I like or who do I really have to love? And so Jesus said, okay, here's the grade. Which of these do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And that was the Lord's direct question. And the Lord, when he speaks to us, has a direct question to us. And often when through his word, his Holy Spirit will be direct and say, okay, and show those areas of our life that we need to respond to. And so he was direct. He said, which one was it? And notice verse 37, the lawyer's response. Because we see the lawyer's failing response. He failed the test here. Because his answer was, the one who had mercy on him. And you may say, well, how did he fail the test with that answer? He said, yeah, it was the one that showed mercy, but what he was showing was, he could not bring himself to say the Samaritan. Because see, the Jews despised the Samaritans. And he couldn't say it was the Samaritan he did it. He had to say it was the one who showed mercy. Showing that the lawyer did not really love his neighbor or the Samaritans as God loved him. And he failed the test. He had resentment. He had prejudice in his heart against the Samaritans. He couldn't even come out and say it was the Samaritan that did that. And Jesus was used a Samaritan to make a point. Which brings us to the Lord's personal admonition. He then said to the lawyer and ultimately to us, go and do likewise. The grading of the test before us is to love our neighbor the way God loves us. If we love him with our whole heart and entire being, that love for God shows itself and demonstrates it in the love for people in need that God places in our life. And the admonition is to go and do likewise. Even if they don't return it to us, even if it's somebody that's totally different that we may not care for, but if it's a legitimate need that God brings before us and we have the capacity to help, that God wants us to respond with love. So that's the neighbor test that God has given us this morning. Anyone in need that God brings into your life, that you have the ability to help. But the love of God should motivate us to respond and to meet that need in His name so that they would come to know Him. That's the model. That's where Samaritan's Purse takes its model from this story. And Samaritan's Purse, when there is a need, a legitimate need around the world, wherever it may be, whether it's disaster or for fresh water or for whatever it is, they go and meet that physical need first, hoping that through that, in Jesus' name, will give the opportunity for them to come to know Jesus too. It's meeting that need in the name of Christ, hoping that it'll bring people to faith in Him. So that's the standard before us. The applicant in the minute is God administers it and brings people before us. Are we going to respond and meet those needs in the name of Jesus and love our neighbor, those that God brings to us the way God loves us? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You that You care about us and You are a God of compassion. You are a God of love. And Lord, You bring people into our life sometimes and use us as a way to minister to them. And Lord, You call us, the standard before us is to love You with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Lord, we confess it's a high standard to have perfect love. And there's many times we're not perfect in our love. We let other things come between us and You. We don't always love You with our whole heart. Our heart has a tendency to drift. We don't always love You with our whole mind or with all of our strength and being. And sometimes we let other things to come in before You. So Lord, forgive us of those times. And Lord, help us when we not forsake our first love. May You be the object of our affection. But Lord, also You call us the standard to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And Lord, we wouldn't think of loving ourselves, of taking care of our needs. And that's basically what it means, that taking sure our needs are taken care of, what we want. And Lord, it's loving others in that same way, that if there's a need, a basic need, the people You bring into our life to meet that need in Your name. So Lord, that's the standard You called us to. And Lord, the administration of that is You may bring those people into our life, You may place them before us and put them on our path. And how are we going to respond to that when You place them on our path? Either walk the other way and ignore it like the priest and Levite, or respond like the Samaritan out of a heart of compassion and love and meet that need in Your name. Because, Lord, You admonished us, and we will be evaluated on that as You call us to go and do likewise, to take this teaching of that story and the example of the Samaritan and to live it out in our daily life and the people that You bring in contact with us. That if we have the means to help, that we respond with a heart of love and compassion in Your name. So Lord, help us to be Your hands and feet, to Lord, to make us a blessing out in the highways and byways of life wherever we are, that our life would be a channel of blessing to others, that through us Your love would be seen and demonstrated, that our love for God is proven by the way we love others. So thank You for Your word that continues to teach us, to guide and direct us. Help us not only to hear, but to apply it to our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.